Okay, good morning, everyone. This week's Shir in Moikaton is dedicated by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction, available for all your construction needs. Cholamoed sensitive. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. David will never, ever have a negative consequence if you want to hold off on construction of Cholamoed. He may tell you your rabbi is too machmir, but he'll always work it out for you. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilui Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim.
And you can get fresh bagels, Cholamoed.
And you get fresh bagels.
He's making them. Cholamoed.
Well, he's making them Litzarech Yantif, and Litzarech Parnasa, and Litzarech Oneg, and we can't live, and Sakanos Nefashos. We can't live without bagels. Okay, everyone, we're at the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us the following: Ein kosvin shtarei chov b'moed. So we know that one of the malachos we try to avoid on Chol HaMoed is the malacha of ksiva, is the malacha of writing. Certainly, if it has nothing to do with the moed itself. So ein kosvin shtarei chov b'moed. So if a person wants to lend somebody money, let's say I want to lend David money, or more likely, David wants to lend me money, right? So he's not going to just count on the fact that I'm going to pay him back, even though when you lend money orally, with only an oral agreement that is absolutely binding, 100%, and you have to pay that money back, and in halacha and in Beis Din, there is no distinction between having a shtar and not having a shtar, except you have no proof. Right? So if you lend money without a shtar, so then, you know, the person, in terms of the ischaibos, the person owes you 100%. Not one iota less than if there was a shtar. But what you don't have is any proof if they contest it. So you want to have a shtar. So en kosin shtari chol b'moed. So in general, we try not to write shtaros on chol HaMoed. But let's say I really need this money, and the Rishonim discuss for Yantif, not for Yantif in general. Is it that I need it laharvacha? Is it that I need it for my needs for Moed? Whatever it is, I need this money, and David will not lend me the money without the Shtarchov, because he just doesn't trust me. Eino Mamino. I'm not trustworthy to pay it back. So then, or she'ein lo ma ye'ochel. We actually saw this Mishnah quoted earlier in the Masechta. And if you remember, this actually refers, says Rashi, to the sofer. Or if, let's say, we're not dealing, now we shift our focus from the malve and the lovet to the person who has a shingle outside his door, that he's a sofer and he writes shtarechov, right? Maybe the notary or whatever. And he needs to stay open on Chol HaMoed, or he literally will not have enough money in order to get through the Yantif. He won't have enough money to eat. So, Harei Ze Yichtov. In both of those scenarios, if I need the money, or if the sofer needs the money, it is permitted to go ahead and write on Chol HaMoed. So, Ein Kosvin Svarim Tfilin Mezuzos B'Moed. So what about a sofer, now that we're talking about a sofer, what if the sofer wants to continue to write tefillin, mezuzos, and sifrei Torah on Chol HaMoed? So on one hand, that's ksiva. It's a very special type of ksiva. On the other hand, it's letzarech mitzvah, right? It's not stam writing things on Chol HaMoed because, you're just like writing your thoughts, random thoughts, or you're trying to make your drushos longer, but you're actually doing something that's productive and helpful to people. What are you trying to do? You're trying to write tefillin mezuzos. So in general, we don't write those on Chol HaMoed. And the Rishonim explain, obviously here we're talking about a case where you don't need a mezuzah. In other words, if a need comes up for a mezuzah on Chol HaMoed, and there's no way to get a mezuzah on Chol HaMoed, or if the community needs a Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed, let's say there's only one Sefer Torah, and you find a psul in that Sefer Torah, and you need to fix it on Chol HaMoed, you have no other Sefer Torah, so that's already Litzarech HaMoed. That's like any other Malacha Litzarech HaMoed. But here we're talking about Stam, you're a sofer, and you want to write, you don't want to lose these days. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, so in general we don't. V'ein magiyin os achas, we don't even fix things on Chol HaMoed. Afil b'sefer Ezra. Even, says Rashi, in the Sefer Torah of Ezra. What's the Sefer Torah of Ezra? So Sefer Torah of Ezra, see today we have a printing press, so we have many, many copies of the authentic, text of the Torah. But the way it used to work is there was one original copy, and when you wanted to make a true copy of the Torah and not miss any letters, so you would copy it from this Sefer Torah. Rashi says, "Vani shamati az azara ba'ashem perish Sefer Muga haya ba'azara shemimenu ayimagim kol Sifrei Gola." That there was one special Sefer Torah that they would copy everything from, and that was the Sefer for the that was sort of like the prototype. That was what we all took from. So if something happens in that Sefer, it's very important to make that repair because other Sfarim are going to be used from it. Maybe you'll forget. Maybe you won't have time. Maybe something will happen. The person who realized the mistake will disappear. So not fixing the original is a serious issue. So says the Gemara. Feel be safer as nevertheless we don't do it. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Kosef adam tefillin mezuzos la'atzmo. That a person can make tefillin mezuzos for themselves. Says Rashi. L'kayim ze mitzvah aval tzibur limko. Limchor, but to make it for the tzibur to sell the derech schirus uchashiv melacha. So Rabbi Yehuda is a little more makel. He says that if the sofer wants to write the tefillin mezuzah sefer Torah for themselves, right? You're writing something for yourself. You need it for yourself. That you're allowed to do. But if you're writing it stam to sell it to other people, so that already you're not allowed to do. And then comes along. Okay, fine. There's one more shita with we'll read soon. That's real writing.
That's mamash writing.
Not writing with your left hand, upside down, and with a pencil. Like that's mamash writing. And you are also permitted, if it's necessary on Chol HaMoed, to go ahead and to tie the tzitzis, to tie the tcheles into the tzitzis, right? So today, most people do not wear tcheles because tcheles was lost to the Jewish people for many, many years. There was a movement that already started in Europe with the Ritzinger Rebbe, who believed that he discovered the chilazon, and he started to wear tcheles. And Rav Herzog, actually, his PhD was on this. It was actually on the color of argamon, and he wrote a whole paper against this, because when he investigated the process that the Ritzinger Rebbe was using, he realized that the Ritzinger Rebbe was heating the solution to a point that would break down any organic material at all, which means that from a substantive perspective, and then adding some sort of iron filling, which was accounting for the blue. So in other words, the product that they were making, the dye that they were making, was not really emanating from this chilazon specifically. So first of all, you could still taina, on behalf of the Ritzinger Rebbe, that not so pashut, right? Who says that when the Torah says you have to use the chilazon, that's because it contributes some sort of organic property? Maybe there's some sort of metaphysical contribution that this particular fish makes, and as a result, that becomes a tcheles. But many poskim today rejected that line of reasoning and believed, no, it's not shayach that the chilazon, which the Gemara talks about in the Gemara Menachos, it's not shayach that it's not making a significant contribution. So in more recent years, a new source of tcheles was identified from a snail called the Murex trunculus. And the belief is that that's really the source of tcheles. And then they even discovered in certain areas of Israel these snails with the exact crack in an area where you would do so in order to extract the dye. And the person who's mostly responsible for this is a man named Rabbi Baruch Sturman, Dr. Baruch Sturman. And Baruch Sturman grew up in this shul, actually. Wow. Actually, in this shul. We used to have an Aron Kodesh paroches, which God knows where it is. I think that said somebody from the Sturman family. So we used to look at it all the time. So so they believe they have discovered tcheles, and it's a big deal in the poskim whether or not we should use this tcheles, right? Tcheles not ma'akev tzitzis. And there's a big discussion back and forth. What if it's not tcheles? Are you losing anything? So the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about Kala Ilan, tcheles imposters. that that may be a problem. There's a gzera against using something that's not really tcheles, because people used to trick people into buying blue thread that's not tcheles. So that's a discussion. And then there's a big dion in the YU world, because Rav Soloveitchik and the base, there's a letter from the Beis Halevi trying to substantiate what's considered mesorah, right? It's a big discussion. And Rav Shechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter does wear tcheles. And in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav, he has a whole chapter on the concept of mesorah and the discussion of whether or not you need a mesorah to substantiate, or you just need a mesorah to not substantiate. In other words, if there's no mesorah that this is tcheles, does that mean that it's not? Or, no, if you have a mesorah, you have a mesorah. If you don't have a mesorah, then you have a blank piece of paper. If you could put together an argument independent of that mesorah that suggests that this is accurate, then from other sources, then that would confirm the use of tcheles. And so Rav Shechter is a fan. He wears tcheles. Many others wear tcheles. And many people don't. So it's a big... and very, very interesting, discussion. So, but the way it has to be tied, actually, when tchelas are tied, they're tied differently than we tie our regular tzitzis. It's actually a three-way machlokus rishonim, how to tie tchelas, between the Rambam and the Ravid, and I think Tosis, whether it's one string out of eight, which really is half a string, whether it's two strings out of eight, whether it's four strings out of eight. And then even in how to actually do the ties and the breaks, that's also a big discussion. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So you could tie your tzitzis. Obviously you need tzitzis for yantif, so you could go ahead and you could do it. So Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Kosev adam tefillin mezuzos la'atzmo, v'tava al yerecho. We learned that a person's allowed to write tefillin and mezuzos for themselves, and a person could go ahead and tie on their thigh their tcheles letzitzaso. V'la'acherim, and what about to others? Bitova. So if you're just writing it for others as a favor, you're not doing it to sell to them, right? As Rashi said earlier, b'mechira is the problem. It's a problem conducting business. This is your business, right? So that's a problem. Divrei Rabbi Meir. But if you're doing it to others for a tova, that's fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, you could even do it for a sale. You do it through a harama, me'orim. What does me'orim mean? Literally, it means a trick, but really it means a loophole. What's the loophole? So you'll all appreciate this. Me'orim u'mocher eshelo. What you do is you sell your tefillin, and then you don't have tefillin. And what's the din if you don't have tefillin? V'chozer v'chosev la'atzmo. You can go ahead and you could write it for yourself. And this brings up in general the concept of harama. There are scenarios in halacha where we permit harama. The only time we permit harama in halacha, and this is a very important thing to keep in mind, is not when we want to make life easier. It's when we want to make, when we want to address a larger, looming, greater value that's going to be compromised by adhering to the strict din here. Right? To throw out all our chametz, right, in the garbage, poses all sorts of problems, all sorts of baltashchis problems, parnosa problems, all sorts of problems. So we create a mechira, and we create a way to, that's not even a harama, that's a real mechira, but we create a halachic mechanism to deal with it. In the days of Hillel, he created the prusbol so that people could support aniyim, right? They're in ribbis. We want people to be able to lend people money. In order to encourage people to lend people money, we create a heteriska. In other words, we create situations. At any time you're looking for a loophole in halacha, you have to ask yourself, are you looking for this loophole to make your life more convenient and easier? Or are you looking for this loophole because, epis, there's something that you want to do that is really very, very important and very, very significant and halachically, you know, so here, we want to make sure that everybody can get tefillin and mezuzahs. That's what we're looking to do here. So the sofer, you know, if the sofer is going to lose money, he's not going to so easily give up. He's not going to just write people tefillin and mezuzahs as a favor. He can't afford to do that. So to encourage him, in order that people should have tefillin and mezuzahs, we create this harav. Rabbi Yossi omer kosev u'mocher kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says, no, he can write kedarko kedei parnasaso. In other words, the fact that it's for his parnasa, and the fact that his parnasa is something that is begeder litzorach mitzvah, for those two reasons, he could go ahead and deal with it on Chol HaMoed. Orile Rav le Rav Chananel, but Amrile Rav bar Chananel le Rav Chananel. So they were Maora. They said, Rav said to Rav Chananel, and some say it was Rav bar Chananel to Rav Chananel. Halacha, what's the din? Kose v'mocher kedarko. You could go ahead and write and sell kedarko, kedei parnasoso, in order to give him his parnasa. V'tava yirecho tcheles. You're also allowed to tie tcheles. Tana Rabbanan, tava adam al yirecho tcheles l'sitzoso. You're allowed to tie it on your thigh, which is already a little bit more of an amateur way to tie the tcheles. Avalo be'evin, but you can't tie it using a rock as a way to make the strings extremely tight, right? If you ever, anybody has ever tied tzitzis, you know, I always just do this on the airplanes. I don't know why. It was a good airplane activity. So you know, when you tie tzitzis, it's annoying to constantly pull it tight. So what you do is you put something heavy on the tzitzis, and this way, every time you pull, it pulls back, or you wrap it around something. So
tie it onto something.
Or you tie it onto something so that it's you're holding it. So you could tie in it. So already that's considered too much, right? Divrei Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim amrim af be'evin. You can use an evin. Rabbi Yehuda amrim mishmo be'evin. Rabbi Yehuda says in his name an evin. You can use a stone, but lo beplach. But you can't use a loom, a real professional way to do it. V'chachamim amrim bein be'evin, bein beplach. As long as this is letzorach mitzvah, it's no problem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel v'chenem amar v'chiyah barava. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha, the halacha is bein be'evin, bein beplach. V'halacha kosev kedarko umocher kedei parnasosa. So in the end, we're actually makel on most of these, on all of these shilas. Really, we allow you to do the tzitzis tying. We allow you to go ahead and be kosev kedarko. We allow you to sell for your parnasa, and we're makel like those tanoim. Okay.
Yeah. Nefesh, we can't continue construction because the wife may kill the husband.
I guess it depends on the husband, right? How much of an asset he is.
Or the other way around.
Hakover is meso. All right, so now we're back to some shilas about Avelos on Chol HaMoed. So somebody, Hakover is meso shloshi yomim kodim l'regel. So this is a very important din. A person who buries somebody, obviously one of their krovim, 3 days before the regel, batlu emenu gzera shiva, or is mevatel the gzera of shiva. So, so the halacha is that, first of all, just in general, it's important to know there's actually a difference in the way we relate to the first 3 days of shiva and the rest of shiva in general. We're a little more machmir on certain shilas in the beginning of shiva when the loss is more raw and more pronounced and more, you know, immediate. So the Mishnah, the Tanakhama's opinion, which we're going to see eventually, is not how we paskin halacha l'maisa. But the Tanakhama's opinion is that as long as 3 days of the Shiva have passed, which is a substantial Shiva experience, then once the regel comes, if you arrive at the regel is mevatel the gzera shiva. The regel ends shiva. Why does a regel end shiva? So we know a regel ends shiva because we're going to see asi asay de rabim v'dochi asay de yachid. The mitzvah of simcha on the regel is a mitzvah de rabim. Everybody has to be mesameach together. We need everybody, and this experience of the avelus is an obligation of the yachid, and the rabim violates the yachid. We paskin that even, and we're going to see this later in the Gemara, even if there was 10 minutes of Shiva, that's Mevatel, as long as the Kfura happened on Erev Yantif, and as long as they did some Maisa of Shiva, which every once in a while becomes a problem, right? Like let's say, you know, it's down to the wire and it's early Yantif, and they just finished the burial and the person didn't have a chance to do anything, so that becomes a real shiloh. But we basically paskin, right? This is when my wife lost her mother, the levaya was Erev Pesach, and the levaya ended at 11:30, 12 o'clock. She went to the rabbi's office, sat down for shiva for a half hour, and then we got in the car, drove home, and made a seder. And there were, you know, a little bit longer, but it was basically, and that was it. No more shiva, no nothing. In the Mishnah's case, it's got to be 3 days. In our halacha l'maisa, we paskin even a maisa shiva is fine. But that's the din. Rav Soloveitchik describes this halacha, and anybody who's watched this up close knows how true this is, as the ultimate example of the fact that while halacha definitely is there to give expression to and help navigate human emotions through living the ideals of our lives, at the end of the day, ultimately, we surrender our emotions to halacha. And this is his prime example, that you tell somebody who literally just lost the relative. It's one thing if, Yontif cuts off at day 5, 6, or 7, that's hard. But you tell somebody that they mamish, they can't sit shiva for their parents or anything. You can't sit shiva at all because it's going to be Yontif. Says of salvation, what do you expect that person to do? You think that person just now sits down at the Seder and they could flip a switch and now they're ready to be in the Simcha of Yontif? And the answer is that we don't conform halacha to our emotions. We conform our emotions to halacha. That's the word the Rav uses, surrender, you know? And that's his prime example of how really challenging and difficult that is. So Shiva, okay, so Gzera Shiva. Shmona, let's say there was 8 days after the Kfura. Balu emena Gzera Shloshim. So if you had the full Shiva, right, then the Regel comes along and is Mevatel Shloshim. So if somebody did not sit the full Shiva, let's say they sat 2 days or 3 days or 10 minutes, and the Regel disrupts Shiva, after the Regel,
the Shloshim counts.
They pick up Shloshim. Right? Mm-hmm. They still practice Shloshim. But if they completed Shiva altogether, completely, then the Regel does disrupt Shloshim. Mivnei Sha'amru, as we say, Shabbos Ola ve'ena mafsekes. Shabbos, even though we don't practice public forms of Avelos on Shabbos, the Rishonim tell us we do public practice private expression of Avelos on Shabbos, Avelos Shabbatzina, yeah. Shabbos doesn't disrupt Avelos, but it counts, right? In other words, if a person's sitting Shiva, it's 7 days of Shiva, inclusive of a day of Shabbos, when they're not really sitting Shiva. They don't sit 8 days because Shabbos doesn't count. It's Ole, it's part of the count, the Eino Mafsik, and it doesn't disrupt the count. Regolim, but when it comes to Regolim, Mafsikin, they disrupt the count, the Einon Olin, and they don't count as part of the count. In other words, if you're in the middle of Shiva, they disrupt the count. Ve'enan olin, let's say you bury on Chol HaMoed, so your Shiva can't start till after the Regalim. Your Shiva is not truncated because of the Regalim. We'll see Yom Tov Sheni may play a different role in that. But in general, if God from my, we've had every one of these scenarios. My father's mother passed away on the second day of Sukkot. The Levaya was on Chol HaMoed. You celebrate Simchas Torah Kedarko, and then immediately after Simchas Torah, you sit down to Shiva, and those days of Regel, right, they have the capacity to be Masik Shiva, but they're not Ole Laminyan Shiva. They're not included in the count of Shiva. Oh, great. The Gemara is going to ask that question. We're going to see. What's the din with Shloshim, right? The Gemara is Suffolk. We're not going to actually resolve that question. That's going to be next week. But the Gemara is Suffolk is going to be, with Shiva, it doesn't count as part of Shiva because you don't observe any of Shiva. But with Shloshim, there are things that you're not doing on Chol HaMoed that you are not doing that are also things you wouldn't do during Shloshim. So maybe, right, so that's going to be the Gemara's Shiloh, exactly that Shiloh. So the Kfura is now on the second day of Chol HaMoed. So the Shiva count won't begin till after the Yontif. But when does Shloshim start from? Does it start from the Kfura on Chol HaMoed? Or no, since you're not really observing any of Shloshim because you haven't even started Shiva yet, maybe Shloshim can't really start before Shiva. Maybe Shiva initiates the period of Shloshim. So maybe Shloshim wouldn't begin till after Yontif as well. And you would count Shloshim from the end of Yontif. That's when you start Shiva and that's when you start Shloshim, right? Because here when... So that's going to be the Gemara Shaila. We'll see. Ve'en and Olin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mishichara Beis Hamidosh. Natan the Beis Hamidosh was destroyed. Atzeres Keshabbos. So all the Yamim Tovim, the Ramban writes, the reason why you don't pick up Shiva afterwards. In other words, the Rabbim Yachid thing explains why you don't observe Shiva. on Yontif because it clashes with the experience of Yontif. But so what? So observed. So by the way, and that would be the din in the din of our Mishnah. Let's say you only observe 2 days of Shiva, right? So you observe 2 days of Shiva. Now Yontif comes. You get up. You don't observe Shiva for Yontif. Now Yontif is over, right? So Shiva Yontif is not Ole as part of that 7 days. So now you pick up afterwards with the rest of your days, right? So the Gemara says, Atzeres, so what's the reason why for us we wouldn't pick up after the 7 days? Because you have already 7 days. The Yontif itself picks up the days. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, what about Atzeres? Atzeres refers to Shavuos, right? So Shavuos is only a one-day Yontif. So Shavuos is a one-day Yontif. Is that more similar to Shabbos, where it wouldn't disrupt it, where it wouldn't, it would pause it, but it wouldn't end it? Or is that more similar to the dinim of Sukkot and of, so what's the difference? The difference is, it relates to, to Tachanun. We don't say Tachanun for the week after Shavuos. Why not? Well, we don't really need a reason not to say Tachanun here, but let's say we wanted to come up with one. So the reason would be because even though Shavuos is only 1 day, the Tashlumin for the Karbanos are 7 days. So there's a shtickle echo of Shavuos in Kedushas Hayom the rest of the days. So too with Avelos. So maybe since there's an echo of the Avelos, so maybe it would count. Maybe that would also swallow the Shiva. Or maybe the reason is, some Rishonim say, just because it has the din of a regal, just like other regalim have this function, so too Shavuos should have this function. But says Rabbi Eliezer that Mishachara Beis Hamikdash Atzeres Keshabbos. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that since once the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, there is no more consideration of Tashlumin for the Karbanos. Now it reverts to the din of Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel says Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim k'regalim. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is like regalim. That's how we paskin. V'chachamim omrim lo k'divrezeh v'lo k'divrezeh ela Atzeres k'regalim. Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim k'Shabbos. That Atzeres is like regalim. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are only 1 day and 2 days, functions more like Shabbos. And we'll get to what the actual halacha l'maisa is. So Amar Rav says, Rav, Gzeres batlu yamim lo batlu. Rav makes the following statement, that the Gzera of Shiva is batl by Yontif, but not the days. So the Gemara says, Chaimam Rav Huna, Gzeres batlu yamim lo batlu. Rav Sheshes Amar, Afilu yamim batlu, even the days are batl. So the Gemara says, what is this talking about? My time of yamim lo batlu. Shim lo, a very specific case, shim lo gilach erev haregel, aser legaleach achar haregel. So what happens? So a person has a kfura before Yontif. Their shiva is batel. The dinim of their shiva is batel. So what does that mean? That means on erev Yontif, they should be allowed to shave, right? So they go ahead, they should be able to go ahead and shave. So the gzeros of Shiva are batel. But says the Gemara, so lo gilach erev haregel. Let's say they don't shave on erev haregel. I'm sorry, I misread one thing. Obviously, when we say gzeros batel, we mean the gzera of shloshim, right? Because you're not allowed to shave through shloshim. Gzera shloshim batel, aval yomim lo batel, says Rashi. Shloshim yom lo batel, dadlayin tluyin v'omdim. So the Gemara is saying the following. You had your full Shiva, right? Now Yontif comes, and it's Mevatel Shloshim. So it's Mevatel the Gzera of Shloshim, but not the Yomim. What does that mean? That if you shave on Erev HaRegel, great. Let's say you don't shave on Erev HaRegel. So if you don't shave on Erev HaRegel, in honor of the Regel, so then Aser LeGaleach Achar HaRegel. Yeah. It's Aser to go ahead and shave after the Regel. Why is it Aser to shave after the Regel?
He didn't shave for the regal.
He didn't shave for the regal. So you're alluding to the reason why we don't shave Chol HaMoed. But in other words, the yamim are lo batlu. After the regal, you're still in shloshim. And the Gemara says va'atanya Rashi says siyata. This is a proof. Va'atanya the proof. Hakover es meso shloshi yamim called him the regal. If you bury the dead 3 days before the regal, balei menu gzeres shiva. Your batel the gzeres shiva. Shmoni yamim called him a regal. 8 days before the regal, balu emenu gzeres shloshim. Umegaleach ach echa erev haregal. And you could go ahead and shave erev haregal. Im logi lachal erba regel. So the Brisa says explicitly, if you don't shave erba regel, also legaleach achar regel. Abba Sholom, Abba Shol says that's ridiculous. Mutter legaleach achar regel. It's mutter to shave after the regel. Why? Shekashem shemitzah shloshim evatlis gzera shiva. Just like if you go ahead and you observe 3 days of shiva, the regel is mevato, the gzera of shiva altogether, and there are no remnants of shiva. Kach mitzvahs shiva, so too sitting shiva, mevateles gzeres shloshim, is mevato the gzera of shloshim. So that's it. Shiva v'han. So then the Gemara says, that's interesting. When the Braisa was depicting this shita of Abba Shol, where he said that the gzera of shiva, if you have shiva, then there's no more shloshim, he didn't refer to 8 days, he referred to 7 days. Why is he referring to 7 days? The Mishnah said 8 days, right? Why does it want 8 days? Because it wants a complete day of Shiva and the first day of Shloshim. As long as you observed a little bit of the Shloshim, you're good to go. So the Gemara says, Shiva v'anan shmonitznan. We learn eight. So the Gemara says, Kosavar Abba Shol, very important halacha, miktsas hayom kekulo. So Abba Shol says two dinim. Number one, in the laws of Avelus, and in other dinim as well, part of a day is considered as if the entire day. That's why whenever you calculate Shiva, you say they're getting up on the morning of the seventh day. Miktsas yom kekulo. The morning of the seventh day, they observe a little bit of Shiva. It's a big discussion. And they're showing him how much Shiva. Do they daven? Do they wait till the end of davening in the shul? Do they do something with Avelus? But they observe some Shiva in the morning for sure. Do they have to have Misnachmim come? Right? They observe some Shiva in the morning and then they're done. So number one, that seventh day of the Shiva, you only observe a couple of hours of Shiva. Number two, now that the Shiva is over, could that be considered the day that's the first day of Shloshim? Even though it's not the first day of Shloshim in calculation, so to speak, right? But could it be considered the first day of Shloshim in terms of Avelus? Because when the person gets up from Shiva and now they're going to go to work, so they say to you, can I go to work? Yes. Can I shave? No. Why can't you shave? You're in Shloshim. What do you mean I'm in Shloshim? Shloshim starts tomorrow. I'm still in Shiva, right? So Shiva, you can't shave either. But, right? But in other words, are they in Shiva? Are they in Shloshim? So the Chiddush of Abba Shol is that not only does the Shiva end, but the Shloshim is beginning on day seven. So you've done a little bit of the Shloshim. So since you've finished your Shiva and you've done some of the Shloshim, now after that seventh complete day, if the next day is the regel, if that night is the regel, then you could go ahead and be mevatel shloshim. It's a big nafkamin, right?
So whether or not shloshim takes us to the 37th day, really? Meaning shloshim starts.
No, shloshim starts with shiva, with the kfura.
It does start with
but kfura. It does, but the question is,
you want to count the day twice.
Exactly, and that's actually the lashon of the Gemara.
Count it as olalo,
right? Olalo lekan ulekan. Not in the number of days. You still have 30 days. But the question is, what do you need to trigger the regel being mevatel the shloshim? Do you need a day that is kulo shloshim in its identity? That's the eighth day. Or could you use a day that is shloshim and also shiva, but the shiva's already stopped?
So it's the seventh day of shloshim.
It's the seventh day of shloshim.
And you want to say
which that? Really is a day of shiva, but it's going to be observed as a day of Shloshim, because the Nihugim of Shiva no longer apply. Exactly. Does the regel cancel that? So that's the din of Abba Shol. Olu lekan o lekan. Amar Rav Chizkiya Amar Ravina Bar Shila. Halacha ka Abba Shol. We pass like Abba Shol in both of these din. Umodim chachamim la Abba Shol. And not only that, but the chachamim agree to Abba Shol. You could see that conceptually they buy in. Why? Because kashechal shmini shelo liyos b'shabbos, Erev Aregel, Shemutu Legaleach be'erev Shabbos. In other words, let's say day 8 of the Shiva falls out on Shabbos, Erev Aregel. So if it's Shabbos, Erev Aregel, right? Let's say it's Pesach's going to be Saturday night, right? So aside from all the wonderful minhagim that we have when Erev Pesach's on Shabbos, right? Of eating early and davening early and flushing the thing down the toilet and being super makpid on Shalosh Shudas, which everybody here is super makpid on every Shabbos, but Erev Pesach Shachal B'Shabbos, Mamish, you know. So aside from all of that, The question is, obviously, you can't shave on that Erev Aregel. And that's day 8. So could you shave on Erev Shabbos? Could you shave on Friday? So Friday is day 7. So if that's the day that it falls out. So the Shaila is, that's what the Gemara says, that Mutter legaleach be'erev Shabbos because they'll agree to Abishol when there's no other opportunity. Keman azla hoda omarav amram amarav ovel kemen she'amdu menachmim etzlo mutter berechitza. Who does the statement that once the Menachemim leave the Ovel, he's mutter to go take a shower, go according to? Keman kabashol, that follows Abishol, that when the Menachemim leave in the morning, he could go ahead and he can prepare himself. Amar Abaye, halacha ka Abishol, the halacha zak Abishol biyom shiva, umodim la Abishol biyom shloshim, damrina and miktas ayom kekulo. Halacha zak rab Abishol in shiva, and the halacha also follows miktas yom kekulo in shloshim. In other words, the morning Shloshim ends the morning of the 30th day. This is not the same thing in the Yud Beis Chodesh, because the Yud Beis Chodesh doesn't count by days, it counts by months, and therefore I don't believe there's a din of Miktas Yom Kukula. Rava Amar Halacha Ka B'Shol B'Yom Shloshim, Ve'en Halacha Ka B'Shol B'Yom Shiva, and Ardai Amar Halacha Ka B'Shol B'Zu B'Zu. We're Mekel in both. To Amar Shmuel is an important principle. Halacha Kedivrei Amekel B'Avil. When it comes to Avelus, in general, we try to be mekel. Shloshim yom minola. And how do you know that shloshim should be for 30 days? So yalef para minazir. Ksiv hacha. It says here when Aaron HaKohen was told that he cannot have avelos for his sons. Rashechem al tifru, that you shouldn't let your hair go wild. So that tells you that part of Avelus is letting your hair go wild. V'ksiv hasam, and it says, Gidel para se'ero sho. By Nazir, it uses the same word, para, that you should let your hair grow wild. Ma'alahalin shloshim afkan shloshim. Just like Nazirus is 30 days, so too shloshim is 30 days. The Avelus of shaving on shloshim is 30 days. How do you know Nazirus is 30 days? The Mishnayos have this concept. Stam Nazirus shloshim yom. Right? Where does that come from? And how do you know that? Amrav Masna, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. My time, what's the reason? Amr Kra, the Pasuk says, we don't see this in the Gemara so often as a Makar, but for those who like to make fun, Kadosh Yihyeh. It says the Nazir should be Kadosh. Yihyeh be Gematria Tlosin. Yihyeh is Gematria 30, and that's the Makar of Stam Nazir 30, and that's the Makar for Shloshim. So for all those who like to say, just the Gematria, and you know, gematrias can be off by 1, and they can be off by 1.5, and they could be off by 1 if they're from a Zohar, and if they can, you know, like all the different things that we like to whatever. So a very mainstream halacha that affects everybody at some point in their life is one that ultimately has its roots by gematria, which obviously means there's a mesorah that this is what's what, and that's somehow connected to the mesorah. Amar Avuna Breidu Rabbi Yoshua, Kol Modim Kishachal Shlishi Shelo Yos Erev Aregel. Everybody agrees that if the third day of his Shiva, or in our Psak Halacha, if the actual, you know, day of Kfura falls out on Erev Aregel, Sha'asa Berechitza Ad Ha'erev. In other words, this idea of Miktsas Yom Kekulo is only true at the end of a series, not when something's coming to cancel it, right? So this comes up all the time, right? So, or even on Erev Shabbos, right? When an Avel asks, what time can I get ready on Shabbos? So you don't say to them, well, Miktsas Yom Kekulo, since today's your last day of Avelus before Shabbos, and there's going to be no Avelus on Shabbos, you certainly don't say that. And even Erev Aregel, where it's going to kill the Avelus altogether, you don't tell them, well, since this is your last day of Avelus, because we know the Regel's coming, therefore you could finish in the morning. But no, Asur Berechitza Ad HaErev, you're Asur Berechitza until the actual evening. And there's a big discussion in the Rishonim what that means. According to some Rishonim, I think even Rashi, Rashi says that Ad HaErev actually means Yontif itself. In other words, there is no allotted prep time. Yontif itself will end the Avelos, and therefore you can shower at night, Bitzonim. You could shower with cold water so you don't get involved in Gzeres HaMerchatz and all sorts of other, or Panav Yadav Raglov, you know, the whole issue of that we discussed in Maseches Beitza, about whether or not you could shower in Yontif, but it actually does not give you license to shower before Yontif. We paskin that as soon as you're getting closer to the Yontif, and there are different shitas exactly when, after Plaga Mincha, only with enough time, we generally tell people however much time it usually takes you to get ready for Shabbos and Yontif. So for men, that's about 7.2 minutes of the 18 minutes, right? That's the amount of time that that we give you at the end. Right, Amar Rav Nechemya Beid Rav Yeshua Shechsenu L'Rav Papi L'Rav Papa D'Yasev V'Kamri Halacha K'Rav Huna Beid Rav Yeshua. They said the Halacha is like Rav Huna Beid Rav Yeshua. Ik Damri, another version of this. Amar Rav Nechemya Beid Rav Yosef Shechsenu L'Rav Papi L'Rav Papa L'Rav Huna Beid Rav Yeshua D'Yasev that they were sitting V'Kamri Hakomol. And everybody agrees. Shimchal Shishlo Erev Aregel Aser Berachitza Ada Erev. You're Aser Berachitza until the evening. Bayim Minei Abaye. So Abaye asked the question, Mirava, and this was Morty's question. Kavru biregel, let's say you do the kfura on the regel itself. Regel ololo leminyan shloshim, does the regel count for the minyan of shloshim? Or ein regel ololo leminyan shloshim? Or does the regel not count for minyan shloshim? Leminyan shiva, to count for shiva, lo kami bayale, it's not even a shaila. To lo noga mitzvah shiva biregel, because you're not knowing at least dinim bifarhesia of shiva on the regel at all. Ki kami bayali, the shaila is the minyan shloshim to kan naga mitzvah shloshim beregel, because you are knowing certain mitzvahs of shloshim beregel. Rashi says da beregel nami aser begeir to tisparis kshloshim. After all, on the regel, you're not allowed to shave and you're not allowed to iron things. So, what are the two sides of this shaila? The shaila is, since these isurim on the regel is avelus about the experience, or is it about the isurim? Since these isurim on the regel are not, these are things you're not going to do. But why aren't you going to do them? You're not going to do them not because you're an avelus. You're not going to do them because of the kedusha sayom of the moed itself. So, but lamaisa, I'm still not doing them. So, is the fact that the source of these isurim comes from somewhere else? Does that mean that since it's not really being done exclusively midin avelus, therefore, you're not really observing Shloshim? And if you're not really observing Shloshim, there's no reason why this should count for Shloshim. And therefore, it should go like this. You bury on Chol HaMoed, Yontif ends, and you begin both the Shiva and the Shloshim count from the end of Yontif. Or, since Lamaisa, I'm not going ahead and I'm not shaving and I'm not ironing and I'm not doing things that are Shloshim Dika things, so therefore, it should go like this. You bury on Chol HaMoed, you start counting Shloshim on Chol HaMoed, you have the very awkward situation where your Shiva does not commence Shloshim. You had 5 days of Shloshim, then you have the beginning of Shiva, then you get to the end of Shiva, and you're already, even though you've only had 7 days of Avelos, you're already 13 days into Shloshim. And then you just finish Shloshim at the end of that regel. So that's the Gemara Shaila, and the Gemara is going to go back and forth, and we'll see what the story is. I forgot to mention in the beginning of the daf, the discussion that, I just wanted to point this out, when the Gemara was talking about the heter to write tefillin and mezuzahs on Chol HaMoed, so some of the poskim, some of the Rishonim already, use this as a raya that you chayev in tefillin and Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. Because what does that mean? The tefillin on Tzarech
Mo. If you're allowed to write, then right? Why not use?
So the Gemara, there's a big discussion of whether or not you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because the Gemara says, the Gemara brings up two issues. One is that Shabbos and Regalim in general, the Gemara says are considered. The Gemara says you wear tefillin by Yamim. These are not the Yamim that you wear tefillin. The other reason, so according to that, there's no reason not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara's other reason is that Shabbos and Yontif are an os. They're already a symbolic. Not just symbolic, a substantive expression of the unique relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't need another os. We don't need tefillin. They're superfluous. And therefore we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. So according to that, the Rishonim get into a big debate whether or not you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Is Chol HaMoed considered an os? So some say Chol HaMoed is absolutely considered an os. Rav Soloveitchik explains that shita because, after all, there's a heter malach on Chol HaMoed, but the Kedusha Sayom is there. Kedusha Zayom is there, you can tell by how long davening is. We have Musaf, we have all the Karbonos of Sukkis, we have that Kriyas HaTorah with Ka'ela and Pesach. Like, it's Yontif. It's just, you have a Heter in order for Tzarech HaYontif. So, therefore, you have the Os. And if you have the Os, you're not wearing Tefillin. The other possibility is that no, that the heter shows certainly if the according to those Rishonim that the Isser Malachal Chalamoy is only midrabanan maybe, right? You have the heter malacha is indicative of a different type of kedusha of that day, and therefore maybe you do need the osa. Some Rishonim say you have to wear tefillin. Some Rishonim say you don't have to wear tefillin. And then when it's quoted in the Torah, he quotes a shita that maybe you wear tefillin, but maybe you don't make a bracha. So this is a big discussion. The Beis Yosef paskins that you absolutely don't wear tefillin, and he introduces all sorts of Kabbalistic reasons that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Ramah seems to hold that, no, we do wear tefillin, and the Taz has a whole diyun, maybe you shouldn't make the bracha, or maybe you should make the bracha but not make it so loud. And what disrupts this from being a basic breakdown of Sephardi Ashkenazi is that the Vilna Gaon agreed with the Beis Yosef. Hmm. Whenever that happens, that creates all sorts of interesting directions in the Ashkenazi world, because then already the Masorah of Eastern Europe becomes through the yeshivas and through the Talmidim of the Gra and Rukhaim Velazhin and all these, you know, the question of whether or not you wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed. So some people have a minig to wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed. Some people have a minig not to wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed. One of the shilas that is addressed is whether or not a shul, once it establishes its own minig, right, whether or not it's permitted to go ahead and wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed in a shul whose minig is not to wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed. If I remember correctly, in Breuer's, the minig was to wear tefillin, and if you didn't wear tefillin, they wanted you to daven in the Ezra's Nashim. Like they were not interested in you, you know, because that's the minig of the shul. I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and others talk about this as well, that in America, these types of minhagim are not the same as they were in Europe. In Europe, the minhagim that took hold were communal minhagim. When all those communities were destroyed and everybody came over to America, they didn't transplant their communities. You had random people with all sorts of different minhagim building shuls and creating communities. So these types of minhagim don't have the same compelling power that you could tell everybody in the shul, in this shul we don't wear a tefillin achol hamoed. In this shul we don't wear a tefillin achol hamoed. In this shul we wear a tefillin achol hamoed. And so therefore, we're more makel on this now. And so people in general, you'll go into many minyanim and you'll see some people have a minig to wear a tefillin, some people don't have a minig to wear a tefillin. Some shuls will be makbid that maybe if the shul has a shtickle a minig, they tolerate the other people, but they want the chazan to be somebody who follows that minig. I don't think here we're makbid on that. I think here we're makbid to put up whoever is willing to go. Whatever the minig is on Chol HaMoed, where it's the davening is already a little more complicated. So that's a very interesting debate, and it's also an interesting debate. We can talk about it another time. It's been a long time since we discussed this. Is what makes it also interesting is the influence of Kabbalah on practical halachic process, which is not always such a common thing that somehow, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes, you know, somehow, you know, usually when Kabbalah and halacha, it's very, you know, it's an interesting idea. Wearing tefillin is a din d'oraisa. It's not so simple to just say, let's not wear tefillin, right? Wearing tefillin is a real din d'oraisa. But to just say, oh, we're not going to do it because there's a Kabbalistic line in the Zohar, it's not such a common thing. We do things, you wash your hands this amount of times instead of that amount of times, mitzad Kabbalah, you do other things before a bris, mitzad Kabbalah, okay, you know, but to drop off a sheet of the Ramah, which is our classic Ashkenazi posek hadoros, because there's makoros in Kabbalah, that's not so common. So, you know, to understand a little bit how that evolved and how that came to be is an interesting idea. I think the Hasidim also don't wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed. So our Gemara is one of the battlegrounds of this discussion, because our Gemara is quoted as somewhat of a pretty explicit raya that we're allowing you to write tefillin. I mean, why are we allowing you to write? Why would we allow you to write anything on Chol HaMoed, not for Chol HaMoed at all? You know, so it would seem to be that you're certainly not putting it on the regal. So what, you're putting it on after the regal? So you're writing it now for after the regal? Hard to whatever. Oh, they're both Rishonim are like, what are you doing, man? It's bullshit. Let's say you need tefillin the day after Sukkot. So when are you writing these? You're writing the tefillin at 4 o'clock in the morning? Like, when are you, you know, so you're writing the tefillin Chol HaMoed so that they're Lutzorech, So that's a big discussion. To each their own, and yeah, everybody has the right to be wrong. Okay. Right there.
So, novel.